Yes, Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, November the 3rd in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom, we have with us the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, my phone has been so busy this morning with people in St. Louis who are really strong Cardinal fans, and they need some help in getting through what happened last night with the Cubs winning the World Series. And I can only imagine if they hadn't won, you'd be getting the phone calls.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, in Springfield, we're in between Chicago and
Springfield, Illinois, yes.
Yeah, and they're about 50-50. You got a lot of Cardinal fans, you got a lot of Cub fans, and I thought my counseling load was going to go up when the Indians tied with the Cubs in that last game.
You know, nobody has said this, and I'm missing something here, but they're called the Cleveland Indians. And
yeah.
Remember all that trouble they were having with that football team, also the Redskins. Why isn't anybody complaining? You know, the argument was you shouldn't name a team after a people. Well, you can't get closer than Indians to the people. How come nobody complains about that?
I don't know. I wonder about that, too. I do know that, like, Florida State with the Seminoles, they went and got permission from the Seminole. Perhaps Cleveland went and got permission from the Indians.
Yes. Well, it's like our hockey team in St. Louis. They went and got permission from the color blue.
Oh, okay.
All righty. We're not going to be talking about that today. Instead, yesterday I was going through an article where the Pope was meeting with Lutherans, and these are the real liberal Lutherans. We are not part of that Lutheran group of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're not part of them. And their whole goal, they say, was to rejoice that relations have improved between the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans. And what I found really interesting, I mean, these Lutherans think that this Pope is going to come around to our way of thinking. And in a sense, there's a number of issues he doesn't. But in today's Post-Dispatch, the day right after this, here's the title of an article: No Path to Priesthood Likely Ever for Women, Pope Declares. Now, we in the Missouri Synod appreciate the Pope saying that. We'll talk a little bit more about why he said it and why we say it. But I can only imagine those Lutherans in Sweden who just so happen to have a woman as their archbishop.
Bishop, yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous that the Pope would go and be with them when he is so strong that there's no path to priesthood likely ever for women.
Well, don't you think that perhaps he went there to make such a statement in front of their leadership?
Well, the thing is, according to the article I have, is that he said this when he was on a plane leaving Sweden. A journalist asked him the question, is it realistic to think that there might be women priests also in the Catholic Church in the next few decades? And Francis said, no. And the journalist reportedly asked, but really forever? Never. And then this is important because this is the basis upon which the Pope makes his declaration. If we read carefully the declaration made by St. John Paul II, it goes in that direction. And that was a 1994 letter by the Pope at that time that noted that Jesus only chose men as his apostles. And therefore, the Pope says, the exclusion of women from the priesthood is in accordance with God's plan for his church, John Paul II wrote in that letter. So I find that kind of interesting, that the reason the Pope is opposed to women ordination is because of something not in the Bible, but something another pope wrote.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with you. That is a little bit strange. I mean, for us as Lutherans, we would go straight to the Bible.
It's possible, and I haven't read Pope John Paul II's, that he does quote kind of verses from the Bible. Do you have any in mind that he might have quoted where we quote to show women, for some reason, God doesn't permit to be in the ministry?
Well, yes. I mean, there's at least two references that we run across. One's in Titus 1, and the other one's in 1 Timothy 3, where it says that an overseer or one becoming a pastor, in essence, should be the husband of one wife.
Well, actually, in 2016, that's possible.
In what?
In the year 2016, you're going to have two women
wife.
Get married, and one can say she's the husband.
Well, I've seen translations where they try to go be the spouse of one spouse. You know, they try to reinterpret the words in there. What's interesting in Titus is translated, if a man.
That's right.
You know, and I thought that was it'd be above reproach, the husband of one wife. I mean, it's pretty plain.
I've often said there are two things that we believe, teach, and confess, and practice in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that would make our church a lot simpler to be people coming to join it. The one is a women ordination, and the other one is close communion. If we would just allow everybody to come to communion or ordain women. But God said no to both of those, and we're going to be running into more of them here, particularly depending on the election and who gets appointed to the Supreme Court in regard to marriage of gay people.
Mm. You know, it was interesting. We had Pastor Golder as our Reformation speaker in Lincoln.
Yeah, he's special assistant to the president, and he was my field worker, actually, a seminarian assigned to my congregation. And for 5 years, he was there, and he helped in bringing in a lot of people. What did he have to say?
Well, he did the sermon based on Matthew, that there's much violence, you know, in the kingdom. And he talked about that there's strong possibility that persecution is coming the direction of the Christians in America as a result of some of the actions that we see happening, especially in our government. And very well done. And people were coming out saying, well, we hadn't heard something like that in a long time. And he said, pause to sit back and think it through, that, it could be coming our way.
Well, it just so happens the gospel for this coming Sunday is the Beatitudes.
Mm.
Blessed are those who are persecuted is one of them. So he may have been looking forward to ahead to that. And there's no doubt that the way this election will be going, the biggest issue in my understanding, and I'm not getting into politics here, this is just the facts of how this country runs, is the Supreme Court. And they just make decisions, as we've seen with abortion, gay marriage, that are absolutely contrary to God's word. And the church should speak out on that, because those are issues the Bible talks about. I'm not going to get into issues about how much taxes people should pay. That's really something that any Christian can make up their own mind on, because we don't have biblical evidence for the rate of taxation, for example.
Oh, I agree with you. I get asked, yesterday I got asked two or three times about how to vote, and all I did was point them to the Bible. And I said, you know, take a look at how Bible speaks about, for instance, abortion.
Yeah.
And the protecting the life of the unborn and where life begins. And I said that should be a clear indicator to you on how some of the candidates speak about such issues.
Now, you and I, we've lived for quite a time and seen a lot of presidential elections. I think this one here, okay, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, when, I can't even remember, who was Eisenhower running against? Did he run against Nixon, who lost the first? No.
That was his running mate.
That's right, right.
I believe it was Adlai Stevenson.
Okay, could be. When you listen to those two, on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't remember anything that would divide any of their points from the Bible. I mean, they weren't for abortion, they weren't for gay marriage, they weren't for all kinds of immorality or this sort of thing. But in this particular contest, I would say that there is quite a bit that's going to make a difference for Christians, where we're going to be faced with things that we were never faced with before. Already, Christians are being persecuted for refusing to make a wedding cake for a gay marriage, and fined over $100,000. And in some countries, like in Canada, you're actually fined if you're against homosexuality or abortion. They call it hate speech. So it's going to be really interesting, the direction. I think the most a pastor should say is look at the issues. Forget about all this talk about how the one person is terrible or the other person is terrible, but take a look at the issues which they're proposing if they would become elected. And I'm not just talking about the president. We've got senators, Congress people, this kind of thing. Examine their issues. There's a group in Illinois, they have this motto, vote the person, not the party. And I think the reason for that is you've got people in both parties who are different than the party platform is.
Right. Well, as you know, I'm an independent, and I've always voted the person. I look at the issues. And you bring up an excellent point, vote the issues, and then go to the Word and see how it squares with what Christ has told us in the Gospels.
See, what I'm saying is in the Eisenhower day and, other presidents, I don't recall anything where the Bible makes a difference or contradicts what a presidential candidate was saying. But when it comes to today, the Bible has a lot to say about the proposals made by some of the politicians who want to get elected.
Right. And some of the things that have come out recently is that in some of the politics, they're saying Christians got to get over it and come to their thinking and being progressive that it doesn't make any difference whether you're gay. It doesn't make any difference whether we abort babies and things of that nature.
Yeah, the one of the vice presidents, for the Democrats, made the point that he's personally against abortion, but he's going to allow it, for women to be able to make that kind of decision. And when he said that, it just reminded me of, unfortunately, Lutherans in Nazi Germany who said, well, we're personally against Jews being put in ovens, but if the government's got the right to do that, we're not going to stand in their way.
Right. And there were a lot of German Lutherans that were put in the concentration camp because they were against that. Not only were they against it, but they were hiding Jews in their homes and in their basements to try and save them.
Both here on KFUO and other programs, and I've been interested in listening to them, as well as on Issues, etc., particularly, they're making distinctions as to where the church can say things about what's going on in the world and where the church cannot say things. And the bottom line for me is I can speak out against something if the Bible is clearly against it. But if there's no biblical information on a particular topic, then I need to be quiet about that.
Right, and I think you brought up a good example when you said taxes. What we pay on taxes, there's nothing in the Bible that says one thing or the other. on how much we should or how little we should.
Yeah, yeah. And therefore, any lay person in my congregations, they are as equipped by God to make a decision in that area as I am. Pastors don't have a better insight.
You know, I got another one.
What's that?
The speed limit.
The speed limit. Well, there in the sermon I've said, I don't know why we even have speed limits, because my philosophy is the shorter time you are between two points, the less chance of an accident.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody agrees with me on that one. No, I had fun. Last week, one of our families from Trinity Orchard Farm went to another church. It's Missouri Synod also, because they had a friend who was playing an instrument in the orchestra and they wanted to hear him. And here's what I was told, that they have a little child and they're sitting in the pew and the pastor of that church gets up in the pulpit and the child blurts out, "Where is Pastor Bacon?" And the mother said to the child, no, it's Pastor Baker, and we're not at Trinity, we're at Emmanuel. So what happened, I heard this from other people, and I met her in just as I was going into an adult confirmation class, and she says, "I got something to tell you." And she started to tell me about being at the church, and then I kind of just interrupted her and looked at the other person who was there, and I said, "By the way, you don't know where Pastor Bacon is right now, do you?" And she started laughing. She said, "You already heard it?" I said, "No, I'm a pastor. I can read your mind."
Oh, boy.
So I'm now known as Pastor Bacon by the kids. Boy, I tell you. But, yeah, we had Reformation service last week, and And then we also had a conversation in our Bible study as to whether or not Roman Catholics are going to heaven who believe what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. And in my point of view, I believe that they are going to heaven because we make a difference between a fundamental doctrine and a non-fundamental doctrine. Can you explain that a bit?
Well, you were discussing that a little bit yesterday on your program, but the fundamental is core teaching of what the Bible teaches for salvation. I mean, a core teaching for us is justification by grace through faith, that as we trust in the promises of God, especially in Christ who's died upon us, that's a very fundamental core principle to us.
Yes.
And We would say it's necessary. You know, we get into this whole area of purgatory, you know, which is a non-fundamental. It's Roman Catholic, but it's not something that we teach in our church.
Do you remember Francis Pieper? That was a book that all of us read at the seminary.
Yes.
He talks about felicitous inconsistency. And another translation is happy inconsistency. And I've always used that. What he meant by that is this, that it's possible that a person in his head has a view of doctrine that is wrong, but in his heart he has it right. And so there's an inconsistency between his heart and his head. And I'll give you a good example. My grandmother. She was a strong Roman Catholic, and so she would send me novenas on my birthday and paid masses for Grandpa, who died. And one day I just simply asked her this question: when she gets to heaven, who will she give all the credit to? And she said, "Jesus Christ." That's what all Roman Catholics say. Then I said, "Well, then why are you sending me novenas and paying masses for Grandpa?" And her answer, she thought about it for a moment, and then she said, "Because the church tells me to." Now, there was an inconsistency between her real faith, which is in her heart, and her mind. And I often make this distinction that Paul does in Romans 7. I consider, in this case, the mind to be the old Adam, and the heart to be the new man. You know, Jesus has come into our heart. And there's this struggle all the time in every Christian between the old man and the new man.
Right. Well, there's that also that passage in Romans, the good that I would, that I should, I don't do, and the very evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing.
And that's Paul talking after his conversion. Mm-hmm. There are some denominations that say, no, this is him talking before he was converted. But then they don't also confess that they're poor, miserable sinners deserving temporal and eternal punishment.
Right, and that's one of the things we do on a Sunday morning at the beginning of our service.
Right.
We make that confession of sins. We're all sinners in need of the grace of God.
Yeah, and there's not a distinction between pastor or laity, that we all have some inconsistency. I don't know if you read any of your sermons you did when you first got out of the ministry, but I've done some of them, and boy, oh boy, I'm not as clear, I believe, as I am today back then.
Right. Well, or, you know, I'm retired and still preaching, and people are amazed that I write fresh sermons for the pulpit, and I said, oh, I wouldn't use some of the stuff I'd preached before. Plus, the times change, the people change, and you get a different crowd, and you're dealing with different issues sometimes.
Yeah, it's not that the sermons had bad theology in them or errors, but they weren't as long gospel-oriented as they should be.
Yeah, well, you know, when I first came out of the seminary, one of the issues we were dealing with in the church was the charismatic movement. It's not
yes.
as strong today as it is as it was back then.
Right, right. So you don't have quite as many people in the congregation. Today, I'm looking forward, right after this, we're going to Mount Carmel. It's a retirement center, and it's in St. Charles, and the entire Trinity Orchard Farm School is going to be going there with me. I do a little sermon at 11:15, but they're going to be singing. So if anybody's in the Mount Carmel area, you're welcome to come to St. Charles at 11:15 to 11:45. Meet our great kids from the parochial school who'll be singing. Normally they sing two songs. They do this every other month. So that's where I'm going to be this aft. Where are you preaching, if anywhere, this Sunday?
Well, this Sunday I'm at Trinity Manitou.
Oh.
But, you know, I'm counting down to 11 days now.
What's 11 days?
Four baptisms. Not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. We got four baptisms coming up at Trinity Manitou.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small congregation. We
right.
worship maybe 40 to 60 people, and we picked up four baptisms.
Yes. Beginning Monday, I'm starting another adult instruction. I have it on Tuesday. Mondays is going to be at 5 p.m. at Trinity Orchard Farm. And right now I have 11 people who would like to attend.
Wow.
So I'm looking
great.
Forward to that. Unfortunately, not 11 can make Mondays at 5 because they're working. So I'll be contacting them the rest of this week, finding out when's a good time for them. I could do Thursday night. But another night, our elders talked about it last night, is Sunday night. Have you ever done an adult instruction on a Sunday night?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I've done like you did. I had to set up two of them at a special time. But it's special watching the faith grow and,
yeah.
and the people as they're taking the class.
And we'll be going through the chief parts of the catechism, beginning with the commandments. The Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, and the Lord's Supper. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I always enjoy teaching that class. But how long do you think you'll be preaching at these other congregations?
How long will I be preaching at these other congregations with an S? As long as the Lord gives me strength.
Yes. Are they in a call process?
Well, they've got, they've got 10 names that they're looking at. The President Miller of our Central Illinois
yes.
District sent them a call list, and they really like the diversity of name selections that he's given to them, and looks like they're having some challenges put out to them about how they call a pastor with some experience in evangelism or reaching out, things like this.
Yeah, and the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, you get assigned out of the seminary to a congregation, but after that, other congregations need to call you, then you make a decision whether you stay or whether you go. And that's the method that we use now. Well, I appreciate you talking a little bit about the papacy and some other matters. And next Thursday, the election will have been concluded, and
praise
it'll
the
be
Lord.
Interesting to see what happens.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Well, it's great being with you.
All right. Thank you very much, Wes. God bless.
Bye-bye.
I'm Tom Baker. As I said, I'm at Mount Carmel. Tonight, Thursday, we're continuing our study on Old Testament passages fulfilled in the New Testament, 7 p.m., Trinity Lutheran Church, Orchard Farm. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.